That's an amazing song. It really talks about what we should do with our lives. We should give our lives over to God. He is the ruler of our lives. It really kind of goes into what my message is about today. Before I get started, I do want to recognize that we did have Independence Day this week. We celebrated as a country our birth and our independence from our tyrannical rulers of Britain. We celebrate that with fireworks. We look at these things that are astonishing things to us. And we celebrate our independence. But what we really need to look at is our independence that we have because we know Jesus Christ. Some of you don't know me or don't know much about me. You'll know my name. My name's Charles. Some people call me Chuck, especially my kids. They'll give you some other information if you want. As to other things they call me, but we'll leave that be. I became a Christian in 2005. I won't go into the whole story there because that's a very long story. But in 2005, I gave my heart over to the Lord. Shortly after that, I began working with children. For about 7 years, I was in charge of the children at the church I was at in Florida.
Yeah.
And then I became a youth leader and a youth pastor in Florida before we moved to Ohio. I originally grew up in Ohio until I was 10 years old, then I moved to Florida. Lived there for 30 years, and then I came back. A lot of people ask me, why did I come back? Judy being one of them. If you live in Florida for a little while, you'll know why I came back. It's hot. It's hot, and it's humid, and it's hot, and hot. When you have Christmas days and it's 85 degrees, you realize that that's not really a place you want to be. So that's a little bit about myself and my calling. God has put it on my heart several times to come into being a full-time pastor. I am going to school for that, and I'm just following his lead. When I was a teenager, I knew nothing about God. I knew of God, but I didn't have a relationship with God. I didn't go to church, when I was younger. Things were introduced to us me and my brother when we were kids, but we never really attended church. We were what a lot of people call creasters. We went on Christmas and Easter, and that was about it. We were given options, different options, but I never really took it to it. I didn't have a relationship with God. I looked when I was a teenager until I was about 20 years old of what satisfied me, what made me happy. So there's things that I did that are not Christian things, just as most of us did when we were growing up. There was a longing still within me. Didn't know what it was. There was a longing for something more. Later on, I'll get to what that was. So the scripture we're going to look at today, I've wrestled with for a long time. About 5 years ago, I was driving down a highway and I saw a billboard that said, that's what's on the screen, Jesus owns you, with a question mark. I didn't know what that meant. Kind of was like, Jesus owns me? What do you mean Jesus owns me? So I did a little bit of research on this, looked at some Bible commentaries, looked at some pastors' sermons, watched a few sermons on it, and decided a few months later that was going to be the message that God wanted me to preach on my first sermon. So 2-3 months ago, when Pastor Gary asked me if I was interested in preaching while he was on sabbatical, I came back to this, and I wrestled with it. Because I didn't know how this would be taken. I had prayed and prayed and had many conversations with God on whether this was really the message he wanted me to give. Was this the message he really wanted me to give on July 4th weekend? Look for other scriptures, look for other words, and it kept coming back to this. Now, a lot of people are familiar with Romans 6:23. I'll give you a moment to turn to your Bibles if you You have it. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Beautiful passage. It tells all about our free gift. But often, we focus on that one scripture, and we don't look at what came before that. And that's what God told me that we need to look at. We need to look at not 6:23, but go back to 6:20 and start there. In 6:20, it states, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome of eternal life." Why would we not want to look at those preceding verses? This is not a popular message to preach on. It's not. If you look around, it's hard to find sermons that are written on 6:20 because it's not a popular message. It's because we are being slaves. Now, I want to put a little parenthesis on this. We have a very negative connotation of the word slave, from biblical standpoints, as well as history in our country. That is one of the reasons people don't preach on this, and people don't want to talk about this, or people don't want to study this. But if we look at the derivation of what slave really means here, or to be enslaved, then we can look at this with an open heart. John Piper described this very well. I was reading something, a book by him, that stated that the enslavement that Paul is talking about here is not the enslavement of our bodies. It's not the enslavement of our physical beings. It's the enslavement of our will. When we were enslaved to sin, our will was drawn to sin. Our will is what we want to do, what was good for us. We want to do what was pleasurable to us. We want to do what is good for us. It's all about me. But when we transition our thoughts and we've transitioned our lives, now our will is enslaved to God. And we'll get into that in a little bit. I'm going to read 6:20 and 6:21 again, because that's where we're going to start focus right this moment. "For when we were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death." We were all slaves at one point in our lives to sin. I admit it. Some of us are still living there now. Many people in this world are living in that realm. And why are they slaves to sin? They're being controlled by something. What are you being controlled by? There are things that it can be minor things that are controlling you, but there are things that are major things that can be controlling you that either lead to sin or are sin themselves. What are some of these? Alcohol. There are a lot of people in this world who are addicted to alcohol, which lead to very sinful things to happen. Drugs. We've either been dependent upon it, or you know someone who's dependent upon it, or you see people who are dependent on it on a daily basis. Pornography. Money. Now, how can money be a sin? When money is the root of everything that we look for and everything we strive our lives for, money is now our idol. And we know that idols are a sin. Same thing with success. When we focus on success of ourselves, once again, we're focusing on what is for us, not what is for God. All these things are about me. What gratifies me? What makes me happy? Or what will take something and drown out what's going on in my life? Like the song Beautiful Things, we all have a lot of dust on our lives. We all have a lot of gravel on the road that we're walking. We're not living a life that is fully pleasing to God. But if we give our hearts over to God, He can take that gravel, He can take that dirt, He can take that dust, and He can make something grow out of you. YouTube and social media. When we get addicted to things on our phones or on our tablets, I'm preaching from a tablet, but social media and things on the internet can take over your life. How does that make it a sin? When you're focusing on this and you're not focusing on that, that's when you're living a life of sin. We even have other people that we hang out with, or that we interact with, or that we're married to, or that we're engaged to, or that we're in a relationship with. Often we don't find the right people to hang around. Now, there's a caveat to that, because who did Jesus hang around? Jesus hung around the sinners and the people that were despised by the rest of society. So I'm not telling you not to hang around those people, but if those people are leading you down to a road that you don't want to be in, that's when there's an issue. So how do we get out of this? We live this life of sin. And how do we get out of this? How do we free ourselves? We're slaves to sin. How do we free ourselves? We turn, we walk away. We repent for those sins. We turn our life to Jesus. So how does that make me free? We can't just say, okay, I've turned and given my life to Jesus. Because if we just do that once, the sin's still there. And the sin will come back, and the devil will work at you and work at you and work at you, and the sin will take over your life again. And what did we learn from verse 21? Sin leads to death. I'm not going to have a fully gloomy message. I really am. Let's look at verse 22 once again. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome of eternal life. But now, having been freed, you've given your heart over to God. You've turned, you repent, you're starting to walk that path. If you read through a lot of Paul's writings, he does a lot of teaching about what we're doing wrong. And then there's a but. We all need a little but in our life. We're sinners. And we have this path that we're walking. But Jesus intersects with a but. But your life does not have to be this way. Your life can be how I want it to be. I know the outcome of what your life is going to be. I know what you're going to do. He knows what you've done. He knows everything you're going to do. He knows when you're going to hit that turning point in your life. And Paul then goes on and tells the good news. The good news is that once you're enslaved to God, you're enslaved to Jesus, Jesus owns you, you can have eternal life. We're freed from our bondage of sin. Sin takes you down. Sin does nothing good for you. Sin leads to death. Repenting turns to eternal life. What's important that God has talked to me about in verse 22 is, yes, we are free. We're free from sin, but we are not truly free. Our will is not free. Our will is now enslaved to God. Once again, it's not our bodies, it's not our minds, but it's our will. We either have the will to sin or we have the will to live for God. There's no in between. I'll repeat that. We have the will to sin or we have the will to live for God. There's no in between. But the good news is this is not something you have to do by yourself. Jesus went and died on that cross to save you. Jesus gives us grace and mercy because we don't deserve what he did for us. We don't deserve being free of our sins. We don't deserve being enslaved to God. Jesus wants to own you. And the good news is, Jesus does own you. Now, going back to my life. So I was living a life as a teenager, and I'm probably in my 20s now, or just before 20. I was living this life that was sinful, and it was everything was glorifying, gratifying what I wanted, not living a life for God. God made me move from about 200 miles away from home and start a new life up in Orlando. God, a few years later, allowed me to meet my future wife at the time, become part of a family that was a Christian family. Through things that happened, like I said, in 2005, I gave my heart over to the Lord and had this life-changing thing. I lived a sinful life. I turned and repented. That's the life I've been living ever since. But when we become enslaved to God, there's something else that happens. Like I said, when you live a life of sin, you're happy. Or you're sad. Happiness is a fleeting thing. It can come, it can go away. But when you have Jesus owning you, you have something that no one else can take from you and no one else can give you. You have joy. Joy is not fleeting. Joy is not something that anybody can take from you. Joy is something that God gives you and fills you with when he fills you with the Holy Spirit. Happiness goes up and down. Joy stays there. You cannot have joy without Jesus. Joy can only be found when we submit our lives to Jesus and accept these simple facts. We depend on him. We depend on his grace. We depend on his sacrifice. And we depend on him owning us. I'm going to ask the praise team to come back up. As we go into this final song, which is going to be Amazing Grace, we'd have to celebrate the fact that Jesus has taken those shackles away from us. Jesus has taken that bondage of sin away from us. But only when we decide, through the help of the Holy Spirit, that it's time for us to turn and walk away. Let us pray. Jesus, we need you. We need you to own our lives. We need you to help us walk away from sin. We need you to reign over our lives. We can only do that when we're ready, Lord, though. Lord, we are all sinners. We were born that way, Lord. But Lord, you sent your Son to die for us. You sent your Son to take away all our sin. You sent your Son to take our gravel, our dust, our dirt, and grow us, Lord. Lord, I ask that you be with each of us and help us grow, help us blossom, help us flourish and go out into this world and be the light that you want us to be, Lord. Lord, we can only do this when we accept that you own our lives. And then, Lord, we thank you for the joy that you give us, the happiness we have that takes over our lives, and the spirit that fills within us that allows us to be joyful and be enthusiastic and always have the bright look on our lives, Lord. Lord, we can only do this because you love us, Lord. And Lord, we love you. It's in your name we pray.